IKEA, the multinational Swedish furniture retailer, in Spain this year for Christmas put out a commercial titled Familiarizados, familiarized. You will see it there, but without the audio, because it's only in Spanish. But I'll tell you more or less what it says. It says, would you be willing to stake your family Christmas dinner? And it shows a game, a show, what do you call it? A TV game show, where there are four families who need to answer questions. If they answer correctly, they can stay. If someone does not get the right answer, must leave the game. So, see there, familiarizados, familiarized. You see the four tables there for Christmas dinners. And the contest again is to answer questions. If you don't answer, you need to leave. All right. They ask first questions that everyone can answer about Instagram, about what's that thing that danced, the Swift, I guess they call it. Now he's going to dance it himself. And he knows about that. There you go. Everyone knows that now. Then they ask about TV programs and movies, and they get the answers. Everything goes well until one participant is asked, how did your parents meet? She doesn't know. And she has to abandon the dinner. There she goes. Another is asked, what is the exact place where your father works? And the son doesn't know. Then they asked, what degree did your grandma Gloria pursue? She doesn't know. He doesn't know. Then the mom, what is your son's favorite soccer team? Mom doesn't know. What is your wife's your wife's unrealized dream? The husband has no clue. He leaves the dinner. What impacted your grandma's childhood? Again, I don't know. Never spoken to her about this. Where did your parent go for their honeymoon? To Valencia? No, I don't know. Why couldn't your father achieve his goal to be a soccer player? I don't know. Where did your grandparents get married? I don't know. What has your mother been studying lately? I don't know. What was the dance your parents did on their wedding date? I don't know. What is your grandpa's greatest passion? I don't know. Finally, they all leave. Only grandpa is left. And here they are saying, you know, I apologize for not knowing such important details about my family. One girl says, I realized that I don't truly know my family. And the other one concludes, the social network will always be there, but your family will not. That's it. Every day, we have the opportunity to get to know better the people that surround us. So for Christmas, that's the slogan of the campaign. For Christmas, disconnect to connect. Disconnect from everything else to connect with your family. That's an ad for IKEA in Spain. But I thought, how appropriate. Are we really familiarized with each other? You know, since my father died, I miss all this story of my family. He knew great-grandparents. He knew everyone. And you could ask him questions about anyone in our family history, and he knew it. But, you know, I took for granted that he would be there forever. And now I don't know about my family. So I think that one challenge for us as we celebrate this Holy Family Day is really to learn to get to know each other better in our family, to ask these questions, to sit down, to look each other in the eyes, and to become ourselves a better family, a holy family. Now, today's Mass, at the beginning, the prayer collect, suggests that we turn to the Holy Family as an example of family life. And I quote, O God, who are pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life. A shining example. And then we read from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus abandoned in Jerusalem. His parents don't even realize it for 24 hours. What kind of family is that? And Jesus himself, an adolescent, leaves his parents, stays behind in the great city of Jerusalem all by himself without even asking for permission. Something is wrong with this picture, don't you think? Well, according to biblical scholars, at least the one that I checked lately, Luke's description of Jesus lost and found in the temple should not be taken as a chronicle of a fact, of an event that took place. It's instead a theological account. Luke, who's the only evangelist that has this account, wants to teach us something about Jesus. Notice, for example, that the names of Mary and Joseph never appear in the account. They are called the parents, a very vague name, which could be translated forefathers. The forefathers brought Jesus to the temple. In other words, those who followed the tradition, the Torah, the prophets, all those who came before Jesus, they led to that point, but they were not prepared to receive him in such an unexpected way. They were astounded, we read. A word that actually has a negative connotation. They were flabbergasted. They were shocked. Why? Because Jesus is acting in a strange way. And we see him, baby Jesus, sitting in the middle of teachers, sitting down, surrounded by teachers. Imagine the scene. Usually, the master would sit and his disciples, students, would gather around him. Now we have a child sitting down. He is the master. And the teachers are all gathered around him. Something is strange with this picture. Finally, Joseph and Mary come back. They search for him for 3 days. The women had been looking for Jesus for 3 days, for Jesus' body for 3 days. After Jesus was buried, but his body disappeared. For 3 days, they were looking for him. So you see that Luke is looking ahead, is kind of hinting towards a greater mystery. Finally, they find him, and Jesus responds to them with two questions. The first, why were you looking for me? Duh, isn't it obvious? Why were you looking for me? These are the very first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Luke. The very first words. Why were you looking for me? They are important words. Why are we looking for him? As we enter into dialogue with him, he challenges us. Why are you looking for me? What are you looking for? And the second question, did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Now, you have a 12-year-old boy who claims that the temple, the magnificent temple, is his Father's house. Now, everyone knew that it was the place where God lived. So this 12-year-old child is saying, God is my Abba, my Father. You see how shocking this is? That's what Luke has in mind when he presents to us the Holy Family in such strange surroundings. The second part of the gospel, though, show us Jesus in Nazareth, growing up obedient and respectful to his parents. And this time, yes, the gospel mentions the mother, not just the parents, the mother who kept all these things in her heart, meditating on them. This is Mary's attitude of contemplation, almost adoration. She takes in. She's open. She listens. And Joseph, we don't hear about Joseph, but I'm sure that Joseph did the same. He was a very quiet man, so quiet that in the gospel we don't read one word of Joseph. I guess that's the secret to a happy marriage, right? Shut up and listen. That's what Joseph does. By the way, I love the sculpture of Saint Joseph in the shrine, the Queen of the Universe here in Orlando. Jesus is sitting on Joseph's workbench, and Jesus is teaching. He has his finger raised, and he's teaching his father. And Joseph is transfixed, looking at Jesus, learning from him. I guess this is one of the virtues that we can learn from the Holy Family, this capacity to listen to each other, to get to know each other. As the video showed us, get to know your family. The social media will always be with you. You don't know the stories that your grandparents lived, or your parents, or not even what your children are going through. Listen, take it in. Also, we learn from them obedience. Mary obeyed the angel. Joseph, in a dream, was told that the child conceived in Mary's womb was by the Holy Spirit. He believed, he obeyed. That's another virtue that we need to learn again. I remember when I was a child, obedience was a great virtue. My parents taught me that obedience was important. Today, it seems that it has gone out of fashion. Obey. Don't obey anyone. Follow your own path. The Holy Family also had a spirit of humility and service. They wanted to do God's will. They wanted to put God first. That's also something we can learn from them. They honored each other. Let me stress this word, honor. We find this also in the first reading. Honor your father, revere your mother. It's almost like an invitation to idolatry. These are words that are used only for God. Honor God, revere God. The only exception is for parents. Honor your parents, revere them. Show devotion to them. And in the second reading, we find other virtues: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forgiveness, forbearance, self-control, peace, thankfulness, and gratitude, praise, and above all, love. I would suggest that it's a great opportunity for us to end this year with a nice meditation on these virtues and to make a resolution. Pick one virtue. Don't pick all of them. It's impossible. It's too much. But pick one. Maybe it could be kindness. This year I'll be kind to my family. Or it will be being more receptive, listening to what my family has to say, my brother, my sister, my grandparent, my spouse, my child. We all long for that. Let's realize it. We crave for good family life. Let me close with a story that was written by Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway. He wrote a short story called The Capital of the World. In this story, Hemingway tells the story of a father and his teenage son. The son had sinned against his father gravely, and in shame ran away from home. The father, however, searched for him constantly all over Spain, but still could not find him. Finally, in the city of Madrid, in a last desperate attempt to find his son, the father placed an ad in the daily newspaper, and the ad read, "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon, Tuesday. All is forgiven. Papa. Well, the father prayed that maybe the boy would see the ad, and maybe, just maybe, he could come to the Hotel Montana on Tuesday at noon. Hemingway tells us that on Tuesday, the father arrived at the Hotel Montana, and he could not believe his eyes. A squadron of police officers had been called out to keep order among the about 800 young boys named or nicknamed Paco, who had come to meet their father in front of the Hotel Montana. 800 boys read the ad in the newspaper and hoped it was for them. We all have that hope. I hope that my relationship with my spouse, with my parents, grandparents, my kids, grandchildren, my siblings, I hope, I want it to be holy. So this year, once again, as the IKEA commercial said, every day you will have the opportunity to know better the people that surround you. Let this be your first New Year's resolution. Amen.